Kulenu na black gemara. We are up to a good vach, everybody. B'tzoy Shabbos Parshas Kiseitze. We are up to Dav Chof Omer Aleph, and about 10 or 12 lines from the top, we're learning the subject of Pasi Berayis. That when people would travel to Yerushalayim, they made all kinds of dispensations that people would have where to drink on Shabbos. So they have these reservoirs, wells all along the way, you know, peppered along the main roads. And they allowed for the Yehudim to have two post boards on each corner, and each one extended one amma, and that enabled them to drink the water in the pit. Says the Gemara, "Boim and Abaya." Otherwise, they would never allow that because it's more gap than closure. Remember, it's up to 13 and a third ammas of gap, and only one amma on each side. It means two ammas of closure versus 13 and a third of gap, which normally is not tolerated, but in this case, they allowed it. So, "Boim and Abaya," an interesting question. We had yesterday a question about if you started out, you know, we had a difference in the caravan and if you're individuals, so we made a difference if you were two people, not just the last few days. If you're two people or if you were three people, and the question is, what happens? You started out two and then it became three, you started out three, it became two. Do you look at it, let's say you started out three, so you made an allowance to have a larger area enclosed, and then one of them passed away. So we said, you know, Kimish Hutter, they look at the beginning of Shabbos. So there you had the nominal mechitzas, but you didn't have the number of people. Similar question here, but here the question is, if the well dried up, this special dispensation is only allowed because you need the water. What happens? There's no water left. It dried up. The water dried up. So when Shabbos came in, there was water there, spring water there, and therefore you were able to, we made this special dispensation. Then sometime in the morning it dried up. Do we say you can still carry in there? The entire area is considered shusha yachid, enclosure or not. Amale klum nasi, said to him, look, Rabba said this to his student, klum nasi mechitza, the only reason why we tolerated this kind of a wall, ele b'shul mayim, because of the water. Mayim ain't kan, mechitza ain't kan, there's no water, there's no wall. So boy, Ravin asked a further question. So what happens if yavshu mayim b'shabbos, it dried up on Shabbos, and then ubo b'shabbos, and then 2 hours later it rained and suddenly the water came back? Do you say once you forfeited the walls on Shabbos, you cannot create this concept again? Or do we say, no, it comes back to its original state? Amalei Abaye said, there's two parts to your question. The water dried, and then it refilled. Yavshu b'shabbos, the first part of the question, that it dried up on Shabbos, is not a question. I asked this very same question to my teacher, partially, and he told me, the also, it's forbidden. You know, that over here, it's forbidden. You no longer carry, because you no longer have mechitzas. Then Bo Nami, so your second half of the question is if it started raining again and filled up, like to buy the house. It's not a question. Why isn't a question? The Havle Mechitza, it is a Mechitza Ha'asuya Bein B'Shegig Bein B'Meiz. It's no different. Sorry, it's Mechitza Ha'asuya B'Shabbos. It is a Mechitza that was made on Shabbos. And Betani, we learned, Kol Mechitza, any Mechitza that that Hasui B'Shabbos, the main of Shabbos, Bein B'Shegig, Bein B'Meiz, deliberate, inadvertent, Bein B'Oinus, you were forced to, compelled to, Bein B'Ratzon, willingly, Shema Mechitza, is called a Mechitza. And not sure what B'Ratzon is different than B'Oinus. B'Ratzon is different than B'Meiz. What do you mean by B'Ratzon willingly? It has contrast, Oinus Ratzon. It's called a wall. It is, but even though you made the wall on Shabbos, you shouldn't have, you did it, it's a proper wall, so here also. So therefore, the same thing, the water came back, so now you have a good reason for the walls to become walls again. These are normally not considered walls, but now they can become walls again, so it's all right. Says the Gemara, what are you talking about? When we say that if you build a mechitz on Shabbos, it's considered a mechitz, it's only l'chumra. If you throw something into that area, it's as if you threw it into a private place. But to be lenient and say you're allowed to carry now, if you built a mechitz, if you built an area on Shabbos, you can't. I will talk to you, you're not allowed to. Says the Gemara, ki itmar de Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman is limited only amazed itmar. You did the wrong thing, you built a wall on Shabbos, it shouldn't have, so we'll punish you. You cannot benefit from the wall. But it rained from the, you know, Shemayim, it rained. It came back by itself, and suddenly now the walls have a purpose, those posts on the corner. Then it should be valid. Says the Gemara, Amar Abba says, Hazoidik lebein pasi abarayis. Somebody, let's say, throws between, you know, you're standing out in the street. And you, I mean, Abba Lazar says, you're standing out in the street, and you threw it into this area where the pit is, which is considered shusha yachid. he says, is what? Is chayiv, you are chayiv. Because you threw from a shusha rabim into shusha yachid. What are you telling us something new? We already established that inside those posts, it's a shusha yachid, you're allowed to take water from the well. The well itself is a private place because it's 10 fucking deep and 4 fucking wide. And if you take the water out, you're allowed to drink it where you're standing because we could treat the entire enclosure as a private place. So of course if you throw something from the street into the yachid, what are you telling us? Says, you know, ilav mechitzi, because if you're not going to treat it like a shusha yachid, then hechi mishtai lelamalas. How in the world can you fill up water from the well and drink it? The moment you take the pitcher out of the well, you're standing in a shusha rabim. Of course, it's treated like a shusha yachid. Says, you know, no, tzricha, you know what we're talking about here? There's no well. The ovid ke'ein pasi bereshus rabim. You build these posts in the middle of the street, there's no well in between. So, of course, you're not allowed to, we're not going to be lenient and allow you to carry the. But I want you to know that Mahatorah, technically, it is a Shusha Yachid. It's just the rabbis don't allow you because the gaps are too big. But Mahatorah, you're allowed to carry it. And therefore, the Chumra, if somebody throws a ball into there, you just threw from a Shusha Rabbim into Shusha Yachid. It's also obvious. Why is it obvious? Because the Rabbanon cannot create a Shusha Yachid. If something is a Shusha Yachid from the Torah, and the rabbis don't let you carry there. So certain times they relax the laws. You know, in this condition, you're allowed to carry there. But if the Torah says this is not a private place, there's no way the rabbanon can come along and say it is. So if we allow you to carry by a well with four posts all around it, each, you know, in each direction, that must be because Mahatorah, it's technically a private place. The rabbis don't like it because the gaps are too big. But by a well, we allow it. So of course, if you throw a ball into there, even though there's no well, Mahatorah, you're liable. The rabbanon are not going to be lenient and say you're not liable. If it wouldn't be generally considered a wall, so how can you allow the Rabbani can't create a new rishus? So what's the light? You know what we're talking about here? The chiddush here is in the middle of the street, you put four posts, there's no well there, and the people are walking right through, and they're intersecting the walls. So we would have thought, that the multitude of people come through, they break the wall, and we'll see later. First of all, Yudah holds it does, and we'll have a concept later, this idea. That if a lot of people, even if you have an Eidav, if it becomes a bridge, we'll see, and the people walk right through the Eidav, it sort of breaks the imaginary door. Also, Rabin Ubaki Mechitza, the Rabin come along, we would have thought, and breaks the Mechitza, because these four posts are stationed in the middle of a public street, and everybody's walking right through, maybe it breaks this imaginary Mechitza, because if there's a well there, people don't walk through. And the Chiddush is the Lord also Rabin Ubaki Mechitza. We follow the Rabbanan that say that what? That the Rabin do not, the multitude do not break the Mechitza. Says the Gemara, that's the whole Chiddush. Our Rabbi Elazar Chodzim, we already learned it elsewhere. The same Rabbi Elazar told us. The town of the Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda says, "Im hoy sederech rishus Rabbi mafsekos." And let's say you have this pit, and right in the middle of the pit, people are walking right through it. The multitude of people, yisal kenno litzdodim, have them walk around, not through it, because he holds if the multitude of people walk right through these posts, they break the imaginary wall. And the Chachamim say, "Ein oy sederech." They don't break the imaginary wall. In the Reichen Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yechon and the student Rabbi Lazar, the Amitavai, they both say, "Kan hodiach koichen shom mechitzas." Here you see how powerful these imaginary walls are. That even though physically, literally, you have a multitude of people walking right through it, they don't destroy the wall. So we see already. We know this concept. Rabbi Yechon Rabbi Lazar already said that, you know, "Kan hodiach koichen shom mechitzas." We know that the rabbis don't break it. What's he telling us here about throwing into the shus rabbin? In throwing into this area, middle of the street, says Yimarnei Ima Hashem. From there, having all I know is Kan Vilesirli. I would have thought he says this is the Rabbanon not telling us how powerful mechitzas are, but doesn't necessarily mean the halacha chachamim. Maybe we're going to be machmer like Rabbi Yehuda. Kamashlan Kan Visvidle. That's why he tells us over here this din. If you throw a ball into this four posts in the middle of the street, even though the rabbin walked through, it's a shusayachim atayde, and the rabbin don't break it. Says Yimarnei Vilema Havlebehach. So just say our case. What do you need to tell us that they tell us the strength of the mechitzah? You already told us the strength of the mechitzah is right here, middle of the street. You parked these posts over there, and you tell me that it's treated like shusha yachid. So we know already that the rabbim don't break it. But you're right. They never said the other thing. They never said any comment about the mechitzah. We made that comment after we heard what Rabbi Lazar said over here. We said, you see, imaginary mechitzahs can be so powerful that even though a multitude of people walk right through it, it doesn't concern us. Okay, then we learned in the Mishnah that you're allowed to bring it as close as possible. The walls can be as close as possible to the well, but you need to have space for the animal, its head and most of its body, to be inside the shusha yachid. Otherwise, we're scared. If the animal is mainly outside, you're going to carry the pail of water outside. We might have a discussion that you're holding the pail, but what happens? Do you also have to hold the reins? You know, the animal itself, it shouldn't go away, it shouldn't turn around, or it doesn't matter if you hold the reins or not, as long as you're holding the pail, that's good enough. Says the Gemara, Mutter lahakri lebeir, tell us, first we give introduction. We learned in the Mishnah, Layamid Odom Bishus Rabim, a person should not be standing in a public place, the Yishte Bishus Yachid. You shouldn't be standing in a public place and drinking in the Bishus Yachid, put your head in the window and drink. Or Bishus Yachid, stand in the house, Bishus Rabim, stick your head out and drink Bishus Rabim. Why? We're scared, concerned that you might bring the pail to you, the bucket to yourself, or the glass to yourself, and you'll be carrying from one domain to another. But if, let's say, you're standing in the street and you put your head and most of your body into the house, then you can drink. There's no reason for you to take the glass outside, or vice versa. Okay, then it's a v'chein begas. The same law applies to a vat, where let's say with a they squeeze grapes. This has nothing to do with Shabbos. They're talking about the din is that once the grapes are all ready, you have to give maisa. So while it's sitting in the vat and everything else, we say you can drink like a snack. It's not a problem of maisa. But once you take it away from this, the gas, then we say gas is like a wine press. And once you take it away, that's it. You have chayv and maisa. So it says over there, if you're standing on top of the gas and you're drinking it, so you want to consider it a snack, it's only if your head and majority of your body is on top of this wine press. But if it's only your head there, we're very scared that you're going to move your head away and you're going to drink outside of this gas, and then you're chayv and maisa. Okay, says the Gemara, that part is not relevant to what we want to talk about. Says the Gemara, so Gabi Adam, Ha'amah, so when it comes to a person, you say clearly if it's two different Rishusim, the boy, Rosh Rubai, you need his head and mouth of the body. My question is Gabi Pora. In the case of the cows over here, when you want to give them to drink, if you want to give the cow to drink in this pit, do you need that the cow should be standing with his head and most of his body or not? And we look in the Mishnah, clearly you do. So we'll soon see. Remember, there's two scenarios. One is where you're holding the bucket, and one is where you're holding the bucket and you're holding the animal. And there'll be two versions of the Gemara. One version of the Gemara, just to give you a heads up, one version of the Gemara is that if you're holding the bucket, you have to have the head and majority of the body inside the walls. But if you're holding the bucket and you're holding the reins around the head, around the neck, then it doesn't matter if most of the animal's outside. The animal's not going to move, so therefore it could be even closer. You don't need, that's good enough. That's one way of learning. The other way of learning is that when does it help the head and majority of the body is only if you're holding on to the reins. If you're not holding on to the reins, maybe even having a majority of the body is not good enough. You need the entire animal to be inside the confines. Okay, these are the two versions, and that's what the Gemara is going to discuss. Says the Gemara, what do you say about an animal? So the Gemara is like this. First version. Wait, if you're holding on to the pail, you're not holding on to the animal, not a question. You definitely need, so this is the first version, that if you're not holding on to the animal, you need the head, the majority of the animal to be inside the confines, and that's good enough. The question is, if you're holding on to the animal, do you still need the majority of the animal, or you don't even need that, because as long as the head is inside, good enough. When is it a question if you're holding on to the pail or the bucket and you're holding on to the animal? My, what's the din then? Do you still need to have the majority of the animal inside or not? Amalei, he said to him, we looked in our Mishnah. Tenesua, we looked in our Mishnah. We need the animal, should be the head and majority of the animal inside the confines. And probably the Mishnah is talking about you're holding on to the animal as well. That means in all instances, you need the majority of the animal inside the confines. V'shaisen, he could drink. My lab, the nokid law, you're holding on to the animal, the nokid money, holding on to the pail. And still the Mishnah insists you have to have the majority of the animal inside. Who said, no, no, maybe the nokid man of a loin nokid law. Maybe the Mishnah is talking about a case we're not holding on to the animal. And that's why you need the majority of the animal. But if you're holding on to the animal, maybe you don't need the majority of the animal inside the confines. Says the Gemara, how can it be, if you're holding on to the pail? And you're not holding on to the animal, you think that it'll be enough to have the majority of the animal? Mishadi, how is it permitted at all? Tracy already comments, it's a bit odd, because the Gemara started off saying with the premise that if you're not holding on to the animal, you need the majority inside. Now the Gemara is saying, if you're not holding on to the animal, maybe it doesn't even help majority inside. You generally don't find that the Gemara should change his mind in the middle of a question. But anyway, now the Gemara is saying, if you're not holding an animal, who said you're allowed to roll unless entire animal's inside? But Tanya, we learned. A person should not fill up a water the yitin b'shabbos. And the person should not fill up a bucket of water and place it on Shabbos in front of his animal. You shouldn't put it in front of the animal, which is the case. You're not holding the animal. You're just holding the bucket. Don't do that. What you could do is fill up the bucket and pour it into the trough, and the animal will drink by itself. And we're assuming right now that we're talking about the majority of the animal, and we're saying that you should not be holding the pail of the majority of the animals. It's not good enough. You need the entire animal there. We'll see later the price on the bottom page. So it's a question. So if you're not holding on to the animal, our Mishnah can't be talking about that, because then majority wouldn't be good enough. You would need the entire animal inside. So obviously the Mishnah is talking about where the majority of the animal where you're holding on to both, and yet the Mishnah says you need the majority of the animal there. Says the Gemara, no. Really, our Mishnah is talking about a case where you're holding on the bucket, you're not holding on the animal, and that's why you need a majority. If you're holding on to the animal, you don't need even a majority. What about this Brice over here that says you're not allowed to hold the bucket and feed the animal? It's a very unique case. If you have a picture there, you can see what it is. But basically, the case here is that the animal is sitting inside a private place in your house. You have a trough that sticks out from where the animal is and it goes all the way to this Pasi Berois. It goes all the way to this place where the posts are and goes into there. So now you have another Shusha Yachid. And what you want to do is you want to carry the pail from the Pasi Berois. Hold the pail over the trough, which you're allowed to do because we'll learn later. You're allowed to stand in a Shusha Rabim and move something around in a Shusha Yachid and move it all along the trough till you get to the animal, which is still a Shusha Yachid, and give it a drink. And the Braille says, don't do that because we're worried. We are worried, as we'll soon see, that you might find something wrong with the trough and you might then put the bucket down on the ground, which is a Shusha Rabim, to repair it. So therefore, you might end up doing an Issa de Araisa. Nothing to do with our case. We're talking about a trough standing. It's 10 tefachim high and 4 tefachim wide, which means that the trough itself now is a private domain. One end of the trough is inside this area of the Pasi Berois, where the pit is. So it starts out in the Shusha Yachid. And it goes to the other side where the animal is, which is right also the Shusha Yachid. And what's our concern? You'll see there's something wound in this trough. The osil tekuna, you want to repair it. And meanwhile, the daughter leila davla bahada, you'll carry the pail with you. Become mapping mishus yachish rabbi, you'll be taking it across, and then you're going to put it down on the ground. When you realize there's something wrong, you put it down on the ground, and you might put it mishus rabbi. So we're concerned. Says the Gemara, if that's the concern, we shouldn't be concerned. We shouldn't make a gzera. Don't carry the bucket because this might happen. Because even if it does happen, the only time we make a concern is that if you do the wrong thing, you'll be doing an Isser in the Torah. So therefore, we take a precaution. But the truth of the matter is, if you took the pail across, thinking you'd bring it across to the cow over the trough, so there's no, and then by mistake you realize there's something wrong with the trough, so you put it down on the ground. Since it was never your intention when you picked it up to put it on the ground, you will not be liable mahatoida for carrying outside, even though you put it on the street. Because the malacha of carrying is made up of 3 parts. You lift it, you take it across the borders, and you put it outside. And you need that all 3 parts should be done with the same intention to carry it outside. Over here, when you picked up the pail, your intention was not to take it outside. Your intention was to carry it over the trough to the barn. Then something happened in between, and you put it on the ground, you're not chayv matoira. So if you're not chayv matoira, the rabbanon are not going to make a gzeira. Don't take it because they might put it on the ground. Who cares? It's only an isa de rabbanon, and we don't compound, we don't make gzeiras to protect an isa de rabbanon. Says the Gemara, even though tomorrow Gemara will see how important the rabbanon are. Says the Gemara, v'chayi gavna, in such an instance, would you be chayv? If you move your object from one corner, let's say you picked something up in your house, from one corner of the house to the other corner of the house, and then you decide to take it outside, pot it. Because when you picked it up, you had no intention of taking it outside. You had no intention outside. So what's our concern? So the Rabbi says, this is what I meant. What happened was, okay, you see something wrong with the trough, you put it on the ground, you did nothing wrong. But then after you fix the trough, you're going to forget and you're going to pick it up from the ground to bring it to the cow. And now you did something wrong. Because when you picked it up, your intention was to bring it to the cow, which is in the Rosh Hashanah, and you didn't realize it, but you picked it up Rosh Hashanah. So now when you picked it up, you did an Issa D'oraisa. To avoid that, we don't want you to carry. Nothing to do with our case here about a cow inside a normal Pasi Berois, do you have to hold on to it or not, whether you need the majority of the animal. Nothing to do with that. Here we don't want you to take the water. Nothing to do with the majority of the animal being there or not. We're talking about carrying it over a trough. Elazin is masakla, you will pick repair it. Vahada ma'ayla, then you'll pick it up. The kumayim, which is the Ramashah, you'll be carrying it inside. So therefore, the Gemara says we don't have a resolution to the question. Well, in other words, if you're holding on to the pail, ain't not holding on to an animal, it seems it might be sufficient, the Rosh Hashanah. If you're holding on to both, we're not sure exactly what, do you need Rosh Hashanah or you don't need anything at all. That's one version. The other version is, Ikidami is another version that no. If you're holding on to the animal, definitely you need the Rosh Hashanah. The question is, if you're not holding on to the animal, whether you need the entire animal there or not. Gabi Adam, Hakamin, we said the Sagile Rosh Hashanah is sufficient. Gabi Potter by a cow, me Sagile Rosh Hashanah, is that sufficient or you need the entire animal to be inside if you're not holding on to the animal? Hey, Chadinok, most like this. Hey, Chadinok, Amon Lokolo, if you're holding on to the animal and to the Bokle Tibaylach, the Sagile Rosh Hashanah, it's enough to be inside. Elaki Tibaylach, our question is the Nokid Mana, the Lo Nokid Lo. Our question is, where you're holding on to the pail, a bucket, but you're not holding on to the animal. My. What's it in then? Is it sufficient to have the entire the animal there, or do you need the entire animal inside? We learned that's provided as long as the head and the majority of the animals inside, Vishaisi, drink it. It says the Braise, it says in our Mishnah, first of all, you need the majority, and our Mishnah probably is talking about in all cases, including where you're not holding on to the animal. My love the knocking, one of the knocking law, you're holding on to the Katie, not holding on to her. Oh, sorry, we're assuming right now that it's only talking about a case where you're holding on the pail, not her, therefore it's enough to have the majority of the animal. But if you, mixing up. It's talking about you're not holding on to the animal, because the Mishnah is talking about all cases. Why make a distinction? And the Mishnah yet says it's enough to have the majority of the animal, which means that even though you're not holding on to the animal, it's enough to have Reishai Virube. No, the Nokid Mana Vinokula. Maybe we're just talking about a case where you're holding on to the animal, and that's why majority is enough. But if you're not holding on to the animal, maybe you need the entire animal inside. In fact, it makes sense. Because if you're holding on to the pail and you're not holding on to the animal, the same question we had before, Mishadi Lechayde would not be allowed at all until the entire animal is there. The same question, the same answer as before, so we'll go through it quickly. But Tanya didn't we learn, you should not fill up with water of eating from the behemta and give it to you before your animal. Before your animal means you're not holding on to the animal itself, you're just putting it and placing it in front of him. And we're learning this, talking about the majority of the animals inside. Don't do that. Fill up the trough and pour it inside. You know, fill up the pail, pour it into the trough, he shakes and he'll juice on his own. So we see clues from here that if you're not holding on to the animal, you have to have the entire animal inside. Says Gemara, no, this has nothing to do with that. We're talking about a trough that's standing in the street. It's 10 high, 4 wide. And it's talking about that the trough is borders two rishus hayachid. One side is the pasin, one side is the barn. And you want to take the pail and carry it over the trough, which technically you're allowed to. But we're worried, the zimnin, the chazil, the evas, the mekal, you see, there's ruined vasil, the tikkuni, you want to repair it, but don't let the dawla bahadi, you'll carry the pail, the kamapish yachish rabim, and then you'll put it on the ground to fix it, and you'll be carrying yachish rabim. That's what it's talking about. Says the Gemara, that's a problem. If you had no intention of putting it in the street, and then something happened, and you did, are you chayv from the Torah, Rav Safra, Rav Safra said, if you're carrying your object from one corner to another, the nimla chalein, you change your mind, v'haitzin, you took it outside, potter. Why are you potter? Shaloi hoisa akida mishalosh malakach, you never had any intention to do that. Elazin, what you're worried about is the masakla, you repair it, v'hadam aile. You repair it, and then you lift, you put the pail on the ground, you did nothing wrong, but then afterwards, after you repair it, you're going to pick it up to give it to the cow, and become aile, which is obviously yochid, you'll be liable. So no proof either way. So the question is back. Okay, if you're holding on the animal, it's enough Reisha Rube. What about if you're not holding the animal? Is Reisha Rube enough or you need the entire animal inside? It says you want to touch my coming from but I say gomel a camel should Reisha Rube b'fnim. A camel of the majority of the animals inside. I've seen Oysa b'fnim. If the animal's inside, if we had it before, you're allowed to get ahead and feed the animal. The camel, they used to stuff with a lot of food, so when they travel for a few days, the animal has food inside itself and keeps on regurgitating. So you and now, when you feed the animal inside, you're obviously holding on to the neck. Because how are you going to feed it? You're holding on to the mouth and you're feeding it. And it says here, the only time you can do it is if Reisha Virube. So we see clearly from here, and if you're holding on to the head. So this is a resolution to the first version. The first version was that if you're not holding on the animal, Reisha Virube is enough. If you are holding on to the animal, we asked, do you still need Reisha Virube or not? So here we're bringing the proof. We're going back to the first version, the camel. It says clearly here, you're holding on to the animal and you're feeding it. And it says that you need Reisha Virube inside where you are. But Eivus command the Nukid Mana. Over here, it's as if you're holding on the Kegli. The Nukid law, and you're holding on to the animal as well because you're feeding it. Dami, it's compared. And you have a Kabina, a Reish of Ruba. You need the majority of the animal there, of the camel. Camel is different than all other animals. You know why? Hoyel v'tzavari, or has very long neck. So even if I'm holding on to the neck, it could easily turn around and its head will be outside because it's a very long neck. And therefore, I might then inevitably carry some of the straw outside as well. That is why by a camel, we need the majority of the animal inside. For other animals, maybe if you're holding on to it, you don't need the majority of the animal to be inside. So Tashma coming in another proof, it says behemoth, not a camel, it says behemoth. If it's inside, you stuff up the food inside. And again, it's talking about if you're stuffing the food, obviously you're holding on to the animal, and still it says you need reishavirubit. Well, Eva's commanded nokimana is if you're holding on to the keli v'nokim, you're holding on to the animal, you've become reishavirubit. It says you want a my behemoth, nami the tani gumbo. It says, behemoth, we're talking about only a camel we're concerned because it has a long neck. It says the Gemara, the time you learn behemoth, one bride says behemoth, says but camel. Obviously, you're not talking about the same animal. Says the Gemara, what are you talking about? Midi Gabi Hadodi Tanya, or the two brides were next to each other, the same author. Two different authors. One bride used the word camel, or used an animal, but he meant a camel. So we have no proof either way. Tanya, I'm not going to learn. Rabbi Lezer said, Begomel holds well, Dafke by camel, because it's a long neck. By a camel, you need the majority of the body there. But when it comes to other animals, maybe Taki you don't need, and you're holding on to it. Maybe it's enough that the head is inside the Rishas Yochid, and you're holding on to the animal. About this whole dispensation that we, the leniency that we allow to have these posts, it only applies to people who are traveling to the Shalayim, they're doing a mitzvah, or any other mitzvah people are traveling, so therefore we made a special dispensation. But Stam, we don't allow it. And he says to who? To the people themselves, so they can drink. We learned about only it's an allowance for the animals, not for people. Says the Gemara, it seems that what? That people are not allowed to drink from this well. We only allowed animals to drink. Why? Because people, what should they do? They're thirsty on Shabbat, what should they do? The Gemara explains, maybe, my behemoth is early ago. Only the animal of people who are traveling to Yerushalayim. I will of them, but a person, you know what he should do? Metapis va'olim, metapis v'ed. He should jump in into the well, he should climb down, drink, and climb back up. He should be inside the Rishus HaYachid and not stand, you know, in that passive but enclosure and drink. So you need a spring. Now when it comes, because otherwise the stale water, stagnant water, it comes to an animal, who cares? He think the animal cares whether it's spring water or not spring water. Says the Gemara, you still need something that is suitable. It has to be a drink that is suitable for a person. And once it's suitable for a person, so it treats the diyamid like a mechitza. And then only animals can eat. That's how Rashi learns. Places, therefore, says, I don't understand. If it's only for animals to eat, why taka do you need it? It should be chazi l'adam. So Tosfos gives a few answers. One answer is that the leftovers of the water you took to feed your animal, a person is allowed to eat and a drink, and therefore it has to be suitable for a person as well. Or Taisa says, and in fact, once you allow it for the animals, people can drink the water as well. If you had no animal, no animals there would allow it. But now that we allow it for the animal, we allow people to drink from it as well. Says the Gemara a little further. A person betapes very near, he should jump in and jump out. The imha yerachavim, but let's say he was very wide, so he couldn't climb down. Then I feel adam nami. That even for a person, it's also allowed. So Tosfos uses that as a proof that, you see, people are also allowed to drink from it. A person should not, this is where a bayah comes in, so this is the brayse we mentioned before. A person should not fill water. Fill up a pail and put it for his animal, not holding onto the animal. But he can fill up. Pour in front of the animal in the trough. And drink on his own. If so, if you cannot feed your animal, if you're not holding on to it, what's the point of pasi berois? What kind of question is that? Lamalosman, the fact that you're allowed to take water out of the well and even pour it in the trough is already a leniency. Because you took the Rishus HaYachid and you crossed the Rishus HaRabim and you put it in front of the animal, you place it right in front of the animal. Isn't that already a leniency? You need pasi berois. What's your question? What does it help? What are you telling me that you need the head and most of the body inside? If the Braisa says you cannot feed the animal, you have to place it on the ground, then what's the what do you need the body into the Reish Rubi for? I can say Reish Rubi if you know if you're holding the pail and you're feeding, but you tell me you put it on the ground, then what's the point? And this is where Abaye comes along and says, Amar Abaye, we're not talking about you're feeding the animal. But Ava is a trough for Aimi Bishop Rabbi. We're talking about trough standing with Rabbi. Gavoya Soda Vereche Rabbi. It's 10 Tvachim high and 4 Tvachim wide. The Reisha Nichnes Lebein HaPasi. And its head, you know, we've said before, and this trough goes into the Pasi Bereis, other than Shuzi Yachid, and we're worried that you're going to drop the pail. Okay, this ends today's Gemara. Gemara said, the Chulu, Gemara, I'm going to repeat the whole thing again, a third time. This ends today's Gemara. We'll continue tomorrow morning, Mitzvah Shem.